Blog Talk Radio.
Oh man, it is Friday. I am looking at nothing but beautiful sunshine this whole weekend. You know, last weekend we were preparing for what was Hurricane Ida, and as it came ashore, a tropical storm. And now my prayers are going out to all of our friends on the East Coast. This has turned into the son of Ida, and it's a nor'easterner just pounding the shores over on the East Coast of the United States. I know my good friend Atticus over in South Carolina has been losing power left and right. So our hats go off to everyone over there. We know what it's like, and we know the devastation. Even as small as this is, all across the South, we've had nothing but 7 and 5, 4 inches of rain on top of what was already there. I know Atlanta is totally underwater. So let's keep our prayers for those folks. But, you know, this is Feedback Friday. It's one of those days when we rock out and we look at what's going on and how to really focus in. And as I looked at today, I thought, you know, I really want to dig deep into the next issue, the next chapter in John Maxwell's book, Failing Forward, because I think this is powerful as we go into the weekend. And it says, the little difference between failure and success makes the big difference. And you know, when you sit here for a second, and not to get all philosophical on a Friday as we're moving into the weekend, but when you analyze just that small change that takes place between success and failure, you realize that a lot of times, just one little tweak, one little change can go a big way. It can totally take and make us what we want to be. You know, Ken Hubbard in John's book writes this, and I think this is pretty slick. It says, there is no failure except no longer trying. And a lot of times I'll tell people, never give up. He says, there is no defeat except from within. No really insurmountable bearable save our own inherent weakness of purpose. Now, in putting it in just, you know, Marine words here, you know, if you're not focused on the mission, that's the only time that you fail. You know, when you finally step back and say, I'm done. I'm just going to give up on life. I'm going to give up on this career. I'm going to give up on whatever. And that isn't talking about, you know, changing directions in your career. It's not talking about getting into a situation that's better. It just means you've decided that you're just going to live a mediocre, mundane life and blow it all off. That's what it means, and that's what you don't want to do. See, there's just not that big of a difference between the successes and the failures. Every successful leader that I talk to has told me we were at the verge of wanting to quit. We were at the verge of giving up. When I read Art Williams' book, Coach, and I saw how many times they lost their underwriters, how many times they lost their providers in insurance as they were building the business, how he was up on stage and he'd get a message, kind of like President Bush got during 9/11 when he was giving a speech to children. And he said, somebody come up and say, look, man, they just cut our contract. They just said they couldn't do it. They can't handle it, whatever. And yet he kept going. It was an uphill surge, but he knew that he could make it. And I thought, man, that is so true when you actually look at the power behind some of the stories. And I thought, this is what's so great about this chapter, is because it talks about different stories of people. You know, the interesting thing about every story that John puts in here is the fact that when you sit here and you look at something, you can see that if one person had quit, if one person had stopped just short of where they were at, things wouldn't be like this. You know, I think of Bill Gates starting Microsoft out of his garage. I think of Michael Dell starting Dell Computers out of the trunk of his car. Both these kids in school at the time. And yet they've come and built two of the largest companies in the world. And they didn't do it by themselves, so don't get me wrong here. But they didn't give up. When there were unsurmountable odds, they continued to go. Even today, if you're not a fan of Microsoft, they're not afraid to go after and attack, you know, the different governments or the different industries that they want. And I think that's because when Bill started the company, he didn't start the company saying, I want to be a billionaire. He started the company by saying, I want to have my operating system on every computer in the world. Think about that. If you're sitting there... And this is in the 70s, so, you know, you're long hair, listening to probably Kansas on a radio, and they're in college, maybe drinking a beer. And he looks over to Paul Allen and says, you know, we can buy this operating system for $50,000. We can go and license it to IBM to put on all these new personal computers they're creating. And we can make a killing. And he said, okay, I'm in. Let's do it. And then I can just picture long-haired Bill, and there's pictures of him out there, looking at him and stating, we're going to have our operating system on every computer in the world. And Paul, you know, I don't think Paul bought into the dream. That's why he sold out of Apple, and or not Apple, but Microsoft, and got out years ago. But when you look at this, you realize that Bill Gates had a mission in life, something that he wanted to accomplish. And I think that's what really makes a difference, is when you have that passion, when you have the persistence, when you realize you can't give up on your dreams, on the mission, on the passion that you have in life, sky is the limit. I mean, there's nothing that can hold you back. And that's what I want us to look at. I want to listen to something that John writes in this book. More than anything else, what keeps a person going in the midst of adversity is having a sense of purpose. It is the fuel that powers the persistence. Folks, if you're going through life right now and you don't have anything that you're really striving for, that you're driving to accomplish, find something. Find something deep inside that you've always wanted to do. No matter what it is, go for it. Let that be your purpose. Now, sometimes this time of year, purpose is about helping others. Purpose is about Thanksgiving. But I want you to dig deeper than that. I want you to dig deep inside and say, what is it I can do? What is that purpose out there? What am I put here on this earth for? And I'm going to give you some thoughts in here. I want you to get out a pen and paper. Here's some stuff you can do. Number one, I want you to write down just the word purpose. And then beside it, write this question: do I have one? Now, if you don't have a purpose, then right beside that question, put in parentheses, find one and underwrite it. See, more than anything else, having a sense of purpose is going to keep you in the mindset that no matter what's coming against you, you're going to make it. See, one of my purposes, not my whole purpose, but one of my purposes, and it keeps me going on a daily basis with my family, is to be the best husband and the best dad I can be. And daily, I fail in one aspect or another. I was talking to my kids as youth pastor the other day, and we were laughing because, you know, he wrote me an email and he said, Troy, you got to forgive me and you got to help me as a parent because I've never raised middle school girls before. And I wrote him back, you know, and said, man, I'm rolling on the floor laughing out loud because we have this in common. I've never raised middle school girls before, so help me. You know, and every day I fail my girls in one aspect or another. I hurt their feelings. I disappoint them. It's the same thing with my wife. But each day I get better and better and better. I know I'm failing forward in that one small purpose that I have in my life. You have to find that purpose. There's a great book called Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. I strongly suggest that. There's another great book out by Carrie and Chris Shook called One Month to Live. Either one of those books are phenomenal books on finding that true purpose. Because when you're purpose-driven, when you're mission-driven, man, the sky's the limit. I think that's why over half of the Fortune 100 companies are run by former Marines, is because they instill in us that we are purpose, we're mission-driven. And when you're after the mission, sky's the limit. Here's some things you can do to find your purpose. Get next to people who possess a great desire to fulfill the same type of purpose you're trying to fulfill. Develop a discontent for status quo. You know, one of the things that you'll learn if you read the book, The Leadership Challenge, is that you've got to be an out-of-the-box thinker. You want to go against that status quo. And folks, I'm a firm believer in that. Every day my life goes against the status quo. Search for a passion. Search for something that excites you so much that even if you didn't get paid for it, you'd be doing it. I'm that way when it comes to mentoring people. Whether I'm paid or not, I give the same advice. If you were to go over onto my wall at Facebook and just write the question, has Troy ever helped you without charging you a fee? I think you would be totally amazed at the people that would comment back. Not because I'm some guru, that's not the point, but because I understand what it was like being at the bottom when nobody knew who I was, and I'd reach out to people, and the so-called gurus never had time for me unless I was willing to pay them. And in my life, and I think most of you guys realize this, and Jimmy laughs at me all the time because I bring my faith into stuff so much, and it's just my way of life, that I constantly try to strive to be like my number one mentor, which was Jesus Christ. And man, I fall flat on my face every day, but I know that if I continue to give like he gave, and he would just talk to people. He never charged people. He just tried to show up in their life when they needed him. And I really do try to do that. You have to try to do that. So search for a goal that excites you, something that you would do even if you didn't get paid for it. Put your most vital possessions into that mission, into that passion that you're looking for. Because when you do that, here's what will happen. All of a sudden, you will find out that everything that you have has driven you forward. You failed through the frustrations. You failed through the obstacles. You failed through the adversities. And you came out on the other side, not just a stronger person, but you came out the other side, and all of a sudden you're leading a team of people that saw what you saw, that bought into your vision, that moved forward in a big way. We may work on our next book, the next study that we do may be finding your kazon, which is a Hebrew word for purpose. It would be good as we're moving into the new year. I think I'll talk to Jim. And the last thing I want you to do to find your purpose is visualize yourself emotionally enjoying the rewards of achieving what your purpose is. Now I'm not trying to get, metaphysical here. Here's what I've learned, and I believe I can say this is biblical based. But what I've learned in life is when we focus on our outcome, when we focus what it's going to feel like, all of a sudden, even when we get there and it's not quite like we thought it would be, we realize we're living a lot of that. See, back in the 90s, I wrote in my daily journal what my life at the beach would be like when we moved down here. Now, back then, as some of you guys know, I still had a pretty big ego and was into the designer clothes and the custom-made stuff and all that. And I pictured this gigantic office building that I would own, and I'd be driving down the beach in my souped-up sports car and going to Panama City. I'd live in Destin, but every day I'd go to Panama City to my office. Now, my life, as I matured going towards that one little mission, which was to move to the beach, things changed a lot. My office is now out of my house. I don't need some big office overlooking the bay with all the overhead. I still go down the beach almost every day, but I do it with my lovely wife as she shares with me the next story that she's going to be writing. And we'll go four-wheeling in the sand, or we'll just stop and walk down the beach, whatever the case is. My life is actually better than anything that I anticipated because she's by my side. I mean, that's the cool part about all this. And that's what happens when you find a purpose. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to write down the word excuses. And beside it, I want you to write eliminate them. Now, I'm going to give you an idea of what an excuse is. My dad taught me this. I didn't learn a lot from my dad. But the two things I learned from him was how to love my wife as unconditionally as he loved my mom. And I learned that excuses are nothing but cleverly disguised lies. They're just half-truths that we give to ourselves or others. And 99% of the failures that have ever come into my life have been due to excuses that I made, trying to cover up the truth behind why something didn't get completed. And when you get rid of the habit of making excuses and start telling yourself the truth along with everybody else, I guarantee you you'll be that much closer to reaching that mission, that success, that achievement that you're looking for instead of falling back in failure. That's just the name of the game. So get rid of excuses. I want you to remember that. Excuses are nothing but cleverly disguised lies, because that's exactly what they are. And to give you an idea, and this will be a very graphical idea, but it's what it is. If I'm sitting there in a room full of people and I say, look, you know, we want you guys to get started tonight, and the cost of getting started is going to be $200. People will if they truly want to do this, they don't have an excuse at all. They just jump in there and they start rocking and rolling. But if they make up an excuse, they'll say, well, I don't really have the money. Well, I don't have, you know, a lot of time. Typical stuff that we always hear. Now, sometimes that's accurate, so do not get me wrong on that. There are times when that happens. But, you know, if I was to pull one of their family members to the front of the room and tell them, you've got 4 hours to find $200 or you may never see your child again. Mindset changes. They go find the $200. They don't have a problem with that. So see, it wasn't that they didn't have the money. It's not that we don't have the time, but that there's other things more important to us, like playing golf, watching TV, going over to the boys' club and watching the NASCAR race, whatever the case is. That's what happens the majority of the time. Not all the time, but the majority of the time. So don't make excuses. Number three, incentives. Write that word down, and beside it, write, develop some. You need to create your own incentives. I remember growing up, now I understand, and we only have 30 minutes on the show, so I'm going to hurry this through, but I love to be able to show the stories to drive home my purpose. I remember when we started going to church as a child, and mom took us first, and then one day dad decided to go, and it was because his friends had been killed in a gangland slaying that he was supposed to be at, and he decided maybe there is a power upstairs watching out for him, so he went to church. But Dad was in the Air Force, but he could cuss. And when he would let off a stream of cuss words, I mean, Katie barred the door, everybody knew. So when Mom started going to church, what she decided was, we're going to clean up our mouths. And she put this little jug on top of the TV. And she said, every time you say one of these words, I'm going to put a price tag to it. Now, the first word that he learned to get rid of was the F-bomb, and it cost him like $5. She was not playing around with him on this, and they went down from there to the smallest word you could think of. She paid our whole vacation that year, and he learned to stop cussing. So when you put a strong enough incentive into your life, all of a sudden you're going to start driving forward because you're going to see some type of reward. In Dad's case, the incentive to stop cussing was he kept losing money in his pocket. For Mom, the incentive putting that jar up there is she wanted to go on a vacation. Both of them had two different missions. Both of them got the end result that they were looking for. He started saving money. She got the dream vacation she was looking for, and it didn't cost her a dime. So put strong incentives. You want to reward yourself. You want to be able to divide the process. I tell you, if it was me, I would put 30 and 90 day incentives. Put an incentive out there for your family, something that they can see. Every time you go out and you make a sale, every time somebody signs up for your company on online, put a little jug on top of the TV and tell the kids, every time my business grows, I'm going to put a little bit of money in here. And at the end of the month, we're going to share that money, and we're going to take you guys to the movie, or we're going to take you out to eat, or we're going to do something. Maybe you put another little jar in the bedroom. And that's just your wife's special jar. And every time you bring somebody into your business, you put some money in there. And it's your 90-day jar. And you tell her, it's a surprise. You're not going to tell her what the money's for, but it's for her benefit. And then whatever your little lovely bride likes, at the end of 90 days, however much money you have in there, you make sure she receives it. It has nothing to do with you guys. Okay, this isn't, I'm going to go get a hotel room or no. This is pampering her. A massage, a hairdo, her fingernails, maybe just a small night out on her own. Maybe she wants to go to the bookstore. Maybe she wants to go and you put her up, in a hotel by herself where she can relax, be away from you and the kids, just pamper herself. When you add your family into these things, it's amazing what will happen. You'll be blown away at seeing how all of a sudden you're striving forward. You're still having adversities. You still have everyday life to deal with. But all of a sudden your eyes never leave that achievement, never leaves the purpose, the mission that you're going after. Number four, I want you to write down determination. And beside it, I want you to write cultivated. One of my great mentors in writing is Napoleon Hill, and he writes in his book, Think and Grow Rich, effort only fully releases its rewards after a person refuses to quit. And I'll do everybody a favor. If you're listening to the call today and you send me an email at troydooley@mlmhelpdesk.com, I'll send you a free ebook copy of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. I have the rights to that, and we'll shoot that out to you for everybody. Everybody should have that copy of that, whether it's in hard print, ebook form. You can print it off, put it in a book or something, but it's a powerful book. It's where I learned that my attitude of never give up, because I learned how many times successful businessmen, when other people told them give up, they didn't. And because of that, we live in a wonderful life today. So determination, you want to cultivate it. You want to go out there and learn never, never, never to give up. You want to constantly be overcoming those obstacles. Learn to become a determined individual. If men especially, well, even women, I've seen some women go after the men they wanted in their life, and man, they had some hardcore determination for that. But if men would put as much effort into succeeding at business as they did at succeeding at courting their wives, I tell you what, we'd have a lot more successful men in the world today. That's just the name of the game. So guys, those are just a few small things. But when you put those into play, when you stop making excuses, when you start to live a determined life, when you go out there and you find a purpose that you're so passionate about, you do it for free. You'll find out that the success that you're looking for will come. You know, In the Christian community, we have a word called joy. And the funny thing is, a lot of people think it's the same thing as happiness. But yet, when you go to Webster's Dictionary and you look up those words, you realize that the word joy really comes from an internal emotion, an internal feeling of contentment. Whereas happiness sometimes is a fleeting emotion because lifestyles will change. That's one of the reasons when I do trainings, you will very seldom hear me talk about lifestyle. I think lifestyle is an overrated and under-understood word or phrase. See, I'm not looking to change my lifestyle, and I don't want anybody on my teams or anybody that listens to my training to be focused on changing their lifestyle. Because as quickly as your lifestyle can change to the positive, it can change to the negative. But what I want people to understand is this is about a life change. It's about changing every aspect of your life inside and out. It's about learning how to be a different person. It's about thinking outside the box and going against the status quo. And if you want to fail forward, if you want to be able to make failure your friend and not have to worry about the negative and worry about, oh my gosh, what will people think? Then you have to understand the difference between making failure your friend and letting failure control you. You've got to understand the difference between fear and faith. You've got to understand that you're not going to have all the answers. There's no magic bullet. There's no magic plan. There's no perfect online system. There's no perfect company. There's nothing that anybody has ever done that can come to you and say, if you'll do just these things right here, you will succeed without having to do a whole lot of work. See, when you look at what we're talking about at failing forward, you understand almost every bit of this has to do with an internal thought process and changing your paradigm. See, I could tell you exactly what it took for me to be able to live at the beach and have an enjoyable life, have a dual income family that both work from the home. And no matter what I tell you, without the attitude and without the drive and without the emotions and without the failure and without the pain, you would not be able to accomplish what we've been able to accomplish. There's no magic bullet. But if I share all that with you and you understand what it takes, and then you go out there and you put your personality and you put your drive and your determination into what I just taught you, you'd be able to accomplish the same thing. It would be in a different place, but you would be able to accomplish that. That's why when I talk about network marketing, I share with people the fact that we have a 90% success rate. That totally goes against the myth that you will hear out there about a 90% failure rate. But it's because I've studied the numbers and I've talked to people who have been in network marketing, and it truly amazes me how when you talk to them about what network marketing is really about, which is relationship building and self-development, all of a sudden they get excited and they start sharing with you about passion. Matter of fact, Harry Wilkes comes to mind, because when Harry started out in this business, he was in Amway many years ago, and he shares a story with me when we talk quite frequently, and you can just hear that emotion well up in him. But even though he never had the success that you know Bret Hart or Bill Britt or Coleman Orr ever had, he shares his success about how his son always dreamed that they'd be in business with their dad. And that has driven their relationships over the years. Now, both of his sons are grown men and in business. It's built their relationships to where they stayed a strong family. He made some good money. He's been in network marketing most of his life. And that's a success story. Is it monetary? Heck no, man. It's better than that. Money comes and goes. But you can't replace the relationship that grew strong because he took his children with him to Amway meetings in the old days. And listen, if you think a Pentecostal preacher can get excited, you go to an Amway meeting and you think you're in a revival. So those kids were passionate. They were emotional. They understood what it was. And I can relate to Harry's story, because now as a second-generation networker, I have one of my sons in business with me who's gone to almost every meeting that I've ever had. He understands the ups, the downs, the goods, the bads. He loves this. He's a third-generation network marketer, and that is something that a lot of times is unheard of. So as we get ready to go into the weekend, I want you to think about this. Focus on how you can go out there and find that purpose, that mission in your life that will drive you on. What is it that you can do with your company? How can your company be the vehicle to be able to push you forward? I want you to. Today is going to be a great day on radio, or on Aces Radio Live at 5:00 Central. This is our Veterans Day special. Any of the veterans that are on here, we want you calling in, because we're going to talk with. It's an exciting time. We're seeing some great stuff happen in this world and in America, and we're going to be sharing some of those stories of what veterans have done and what they're doing, and the sacrifices and the successes that they've had. See, this is what it's about, guys. And Jimmy and I both would tell you right now that serving in the military is literally something we would have done for free, because we cared about this country so much, and the passion and the relationships and the mentoring and the, as a matter of fact, it's probably one of my greatest network marketing experiences, because I learned what it meant to have a hierarchy. I learned what it meant to have an upline, what it meant to have a downline, what it meant to lead. So we're going to have a fun time at Aces Radio this afternoon. You all need to be on there. You need to listen. But again, as we close out the show, I want you to go into the weekend thinking, how can you change? What can you do different? How can you take that step forward over the weekend to become a better person? How can you wipe out the excuses in your life and move forward? Call your upline sponsor. Talk to them if you need to. Call one of the top leaders in the company. You know, something that's a myth is that new distributors don't think that those upline leaders that you see in the magazines and you watch on the internet would ever have time for you. Most of them are great servant leaders, and if you just call them on the phone, you would be amazed at how they'd give you time and share their life experiences. Folks, have an awesome weekend. We'll see you back here Monday morning on Radio for Your Mind.